So I'd like to thank my co-authors, and these are our affiliations. This project was funded by the Food and Drug Administration and was a multi-center project. You can see all the affiliations there. Idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, or ITP, is a rare blood disorder that causes low platelets, generally leading to bleeding and bruising. It is more common in children, and most cases are thought to occur by an immune mechanism. It was first described following wild-type measles virus infection in 1952, and in 1966, Oski and Naiman reported thrombocytopenia following a live measles vaccine. And since that time, the association of the MMR vaccine and ITP has been fairly well established, with a risk of about 1 in 40,000 doses. There's the theoretical risk of ITP after other childhood vaccines, and in fact, there have been case reports of ITP after hepatitis B vaccine, whole cell DTP, and hepatitis A vaccine. But the risk of ITP after childhood vaccines other than MMR is currently unknown. Moving on to ITP and severe sequelae, rarely ITP can lead to severe sequelae, including death, although that's very rare. Other known complications of ITP or its treatment include intracranial hemorrhage, severe bleeding, blood clots, and renal failure. And in fact, there have been several case reports and case series describing severe adverse events after MMR-associated ITP. The risk of severe outcomes of ITP after MMR vaccination is thought to be quite low, but few studies have actually examined severe sequelae as an outcome. So in this study, we sought to ascertain the risk of ITP in children under 18 following all vaccines routinely administered in childhood, and the risk of serious clinical sequelae of ITP following vaccination in children. This study was conducted in 5 managed care organizations across the U.S. using data from 2000 to 2009 and was a retrospective cohort study among 1.8 million children. We defined a case of ITP as any child under 18 with a platelet count of 50,000 or less and the presence of clinical signs and symptoms of ITP, such as petechiae, significant bruising, or spontaneous bleeding. We classified our cases of ITP as either acute, meaning resolution within 6 months of onset, or chronic, meaning no resolution, or resolution at greater than 6 months. There were several exclusion criteria, such as exposure to medications that may cause low platelets, infections that could cause low platelets, possible or actual serious infection, and we also excluded recurrent ITP, meaning patients who had a history of ITP, but whose ITP had resolved and they had suffered a recurrence. We defined serious adverse sequelae as any of the following: intracranial hemorrhage, bleeding requiring hospitalization, bleeding requiring any kind of transfusion, and death. We used what's called a self-controlled case series analysis, and this is a common method for examining rare adverse events, such as with vaccines. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because it's a little tricky to understand. We used conditional Poisson regression and calculated what are called incident rate ratios for ITP following vaccination. We controlled for sex and managed care organization, and this methodology controls for unmeasured confounders by proxy. We calculated incident rate ratios by age group and vaccine type and used a 1 to 42-day risk window. And we defined clinically relevant age groups depending on the vaccine we were examining. And importantly, for vaccines other than MMR and the combination MMR-varicella vaccine, the incident rate ratios were calculated only when not given in conjunction with those vaccines. And just to spend a minute on the incident rate ratio, all of the cases are exposed to the vaccine of interest, and to calculate the numerator portion of the incident rate ratio, it's the number of cases in the 1 to 42-day exposure window over the exposed person time of all cases. The denominator is the number of cases outside of the 1 to 42-day exposure window over the unexposed person time of all cases. And to sort of help describe that a little bit better, in the center is a symbol depicting the day of vaccination. And again, this analysis is performed for each vaccine of interest. Only cases that receive the vaccine of interest, again, are included in the analysis. So any case of ITP that occurs in that 1 to 42-day risk window is considered exposed, and goes into the numerator portion for the calculation, while cases that occur outside of the risk window are considered unexposed cases and contribute to the denominator portion. So moving on to our results, and I'm going to start with our case ascertainment. We started with 1.8 million children under 18 enrolled in five health plans from 2000 to 2009. We identified 696 possible cases electronically using ICD-9 codes for thrombocytopenia and a platelet count under 50,000 within 6 weeks of diagnosis, or two platelet counts under 50,000. And then we excluded 248 cases electronically, leaving us with 448 cases, possible cases for chart review. I'm not going to go through all the exclusions, but we ended up excluding on chart review 251 further cases. And that left us with 197 confirmed cases of ITP. This slide shows our study population by age and gender. The y-axis shows the total number of cases out of the 197 cases. In the 6 week to 11 month age group, there were more girls than boys. In all other age groups, though, the gender distribution was relatively even. The mean platelet count at diagnosis of our cases was 9.8. That's very low. Normal is over 150. 93% of our cases had a hematology consultation. Half of our cases had a non-exclusionary acute illness in the 6 weeks prior to diagnosis, and that means something like an upper respiratory infection or gastroenteritis. And 21% had a non-exclusionary medication exposure in the 6 weeks prior to diagnosis. So it's like an antibiotic other than a sulfa drug or an allergy medicine or something like that. 79% of our cases were classified as acute, meaning under 6 months. 19% were classified as chronic. 2% were unknown. And for our acute cases, the mean time to resolution of illness was 36 days. Moving on to the results of our incident rate ratio calculations, for the infant series of vaccines, we found no increased risk of ITP for any vaccine, so that's 6 weeks to 11 months. Here we see the risk of ITP after vaccines in the 12 to 19-month-old age group. The y-axis shows the incident rate ratio. Note the bold line at 1. Bars above this line signify an association with increased risk, while bars below signify an association with decreased risk. And as you can see, there is a significantly elevated rate ratio for MMR vaccine of about 7. This finding is not surprising, and it's consistent with prior studies. The combination MMRV vaccine was slightly elevated, but the finding did not reach statistical significance, and none of the other vaccines in this age group showed an increased incident rate ratio. This next slide shows the risk of ITP after vaccines commonly given in the 4 to 6 year old age group. There were mildly increased incident rate ratios for MMR, varicella vaccine, and DTaP vaccine, but none of these reached statistical significance. And this slide shows the risk of ITP after vaccines commonly given in older children. Note that for hepatitis A, the age category is 7 to 17 years, as most of our doses in our patient population were catch-up doses and were spread evenly over the 7 to 17-year-old age group, while the other vaccines, the majority were given between 11 and 17. And I want you to note the y-axis on this slide. We found some really high incident rate ratios in this 11 to 17-year-old age group. And we can see that for several of these, the p-value did reach statistical significance. So the incident rate ratio for hepatitis A was about 18 with a p-value of 0.007. For varicella vaccine, the incident rate ratio was about 14 with a p-value of 0.04. And finally, for Tdap, the incident rate ratio was about 14. With a p-value of 0.002. The interpretation of these incident rate ratios is that the risk of ITP was about 14 to 18 times higher in the 1 to 42-day window after vaccination than in the control periods. However, I want to point out a major caveat regarding these data. These incident rate ratios are based on 1 to 2 cases in the 1 to 42-day exposure window after vaccination, so these results should be interpreted with caution. I also want to emphasize this point by showing you in table form the confidence intervals for the vaccines for which we found a statistically significant incident rate ratio. And as you can see, for all of the vaccines, our confidence intervals are quite wide. They don't cross 1, so they're significant, but they're quite wide. Moving on to the timing of our cases, for the vaccines for which we found a statistically significantly elevated incident rate ratio. Note that the risk window begins on the day after vaccination, showing in the middle, shown about the middle of the slide. And recall that the risk window begins on the day after, I'm sorry, and recall that the risk window is the 1 to 42 day time period after vaccination. And I'd also like to just point out that there were a number of cases that occurred shortly after the risk window and contributed person time to the control period. This illustrates one of the limitations of these types of studies. These cases may have been associated with vaccination, but when designing these types of studies, we have to decide on an optimal risk window. And for this study, we decided on 1 to 42 days as it made biologic sense, and it's also what's been used in a lot of prior studies. So shifting gears to one of our other objectives, this slide presents our findings related to serious adverse sequelae. 6 of the cases out of the 197 met the definition for serious adverse sequelae. Only one of these was vaccine exposed, and this was a 4-year-old girl who presented with bleeding and a platelet count of 2, again, quite low. She was transfused packed red blood cells and platelets, which met our definition for serious adverse sequelae. Her ITP, however, resolved at a week, and she had no known long-term sequelae. She had received the DTaP, MMR, and IPV vaccines 4 weeks prior to her diagnosis. In summary, we found significantly elevated incident rate ratios for MMR in the 12 to 19-month-olds, for hepatitis A in the 7 to 17-year-olds, for Tdap and varicella in 11 to 17-year-olds, and we had negative findings for other vaccines in younger ages. Also importantly, we found no permanent serious sequelae. The strength of this study is it's the first study to examine in a systematic way the risk of ITP after vaccines other than MMR, and our study was performed in a large network of managed care organizations with a large sample size, and importantly, all of our cases were confirmed by medical record review. There were, however, several limitations. Because ITP is a rare disease, the number of our confirmed ITP cases was relatively low. We also included acute ITP and chronic ITP for all analyses, and these may, in fact, be different diseases with different mechanisms. It's also difficult to examine the risk of ITP after vaccines that are normally given with MMR, because MMR is known to be associated with ITP. And while the methodology we used was the most appropriate for working with the available data, it is highly sensitive to cases in the exposure window, and therefore may have overestimated our effect sizes and led to type 1 error. So in conclusion, ITP, which is known to occur with MMR, may occur after certain other childhood vaccines. The risk of permanent sequelae after vaccine-associated ITP, if any, appears to be very low. And while it's unlikely that any of the vaccines in early childhood are associated with ITP, further studies are needed to better define the risk in older children.